tendency. Whoever's the last one to sign on the attendance sheet, please turn it in. Okay, yeah, to the table back here.
To the person at the table. Our topic is improving sadhana bhakti. So I'd like to give you an idea how I'd like to approach this. You were supposed to get something that you're not going to get this morning, but maybe you'll get one tomorrow. Seven-day outline, day by day, how we plan to proceed. And this first day is more or less just defining our topic, and I plan to follow two or three different, standards or guidelines from Scripture, how the progress of sadhana bhakti goes step by step. And I'll just present this as homework right now. Tomorrow's topic will be the importance of making effort from our side. Later on, we'll talk about the importance of getting the mercy, even after all of our efforts are made. The final stages of sadhana bhakti are accomplished by the mercy of the Lord. The third and fourth days, this is a homework assignment. We'll be discussing on the third day your practical experiences, and some of mine also we'll discuss, of how techniques of hearing and chanting, particularly techniques that you personally use and find effective for improving your hearing and chanting. So today is Wednesday. By tomorrow evening, late, I'm staying in room 7 up here. You can give to Shamasundar, or give to me, or give to somebody to give to me. And I'll then try to, you know, go through all that stuff before the third morning's class, and then we'll kind of, if you want to be called on, we can discuss, and, you know, you can say that your points of how your efforts you found in improving your chanting or study are, you know, how it works to help you improve your sadhana bhakti. Yeah?
So write something.
Yes.
Tomorrow evening.
Yeah. You're not going to get graded on it. This is for discussion, so we can kind of gather things together. Do you have a question? No, okay. Keeladar.
How techniques of hearing and chanting
what techniques you use and find effective for improving your sadhana in the categories of hearing and chanting. And then the following evening, I'm just making extra work for myself. I hope you realize this. The fourth day, so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we'll discuss things that are not directly devotional practices, but things that are helpful outside of your immediate hearing and chanting activities. Those of you that took Murali Vadaka Prabhu's course, the whole topic of Varnashram as the support for sadhana bhakti, his term, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur's term, gona bhakti, or those things that are not directly hearing and chanting activities, but things that are helpful to create the atmosphere for good hearing and chanting. Things that you think that you do that help you to do your hearing and chanting more nicely. Practical things. You know, that you got your economics straightened out so you can pay your bills if you're a householder, and things like that. Your Vaishnava relationships, You can use, you know, let your thoughts go to those things that you want to churn that topic. And then the final 2 days, how conviction and the goal can become more and more resolved. We'll speak a little bit about Bhava Bhakti. And then finally, the last day, I've just seen the cover of Satsarupa Maharaj's new book, but calling out for the mercy of the Holy Name and Krishna to make our sadhana finally successful. So that's our final day's topic. That's the outline of how I'd like to proceed with this course. So we'll start with a scriptural text, so it's more will be on a lecture format, and then gradually we'll work into more and more discussion. Just want to first establish the ground and definition of things. Question on that so far? Okay, so mercy. Calling for the mercy. So it's our Vaishnava way. This is a point of sadhana that you can consider before beginning your devotional practices. One calls for, invokes the blessing of the spiritual masters, the previous acharyas, and Krishna and Radha. So those of you that know, we can recite together the Mangala Charana at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Om Ajnana Timarandhasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Miritam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitana Mano Bhistam Statitam Yena Bhutane Swayam Rupa Gadhamayam Dharati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rajanathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadhaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Nita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, when chanting these prayers or undergoing some similar exercise of fixing your mind and calling for the mercy of the perfected souls and Krishna himself, it's very nice to meditate on their position. It's these personalities who we're trying to please, at the same time by invoking their pleasure to call upon their mercy, so we can be successful in our attempt to approach our spiritual position. So I relied very heavily on nectar devotion and framing, particularly the first couple of days of classes. So I'd like to read the very first verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami, his Mangala Charana, or invoking of auspiciousness. The verse begins, the first line, Akila Rasamrita Murti Prashramatu Ridhu Taraka Pali. So the translation: all glory to Lord Krishna Chandra, who is the beauty of the moon personified, and who is the embodiment of the ambrosia of joy, everlasting and immortal, called Rasa, and the radiance of whose body has subdued the two gopis known as Taraka and Palika, and who has owned Shama and Lalita, the other two spiritual damsels, as his own, and who is the most beloved of Srimati Radharani. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is a text which is describing the whole process of devotional service. So our topic is improving sadhana bhakti. And sadhana means that which allows you to accomplish something that you desire as a goal, literally. Say the sadhana of performing arti is such and such, or if you want to leave the room, the sadhana is get up and you go for the door. That's the means to achieve something. So sadhana bhakti is those activities of devotion, devotional practice or devotional life. Another term that's also appropriate, so you could say an equivalent Sanskrit term, is abhideya. In the trio, sambandha abhideya prayojana, in particularly in the Gaudiya Math, within Bhaktisiddhanta's writings and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, these terms are far more prevalent than in Prabhupada's, but it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita and the discussions between Prakashananda Saraswati and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These terms, sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. So abhideya is acting upon the relationship one has with Krishna. Actions performed within that relationship. So on the other two ends is sambandha, understanding what is the relationship of all things to God, the source of all things. Sambandha, knowledge, sambandha gyan. If you've read Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you want to perform the process of chanting the holy name, you have to have it straight. What is sambandha gyan? If you don't know what's what, you can chant without achieving perfection. And so again, the activities performed within that relationship with God is abhideya. Or we're saying equivalent, sadhana bhakti. And the goal is prayojana. And according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that goal is not liberation or attaining one of the heavenly planets. The goal is prema. Prema prayojana. Or prema pumartho mahan. The goal is attaining love. So keeping the goal in mind, even at the beginning stages of sadhana bhakti, one can proceed very nicely towards that end. In Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Devotion, he has divided the whole book into four oceans, or four parts of the ocean: east, south, west, and north oceans. Within those oceans there are different waves. So in the eastern side, there's four parts to Nectar of Devotion, or four waves. And the first is a general description of bhakti, specifically uttama bhakti. So one should understand that we're speaking about, because that's what Rupa Goswami is speaking about, Uttama Bhakti. And the sadhana for achieving Uttama Bhakti is our topic. So from the very beginning, Uttama Bhakti is being practiced if one is following Rupa Goswami. So then the next three chapters after this general description of Uttama Bhakti is Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. And here she is. It's all about Prema Bhakti. So we're choosing as our topic the second wave of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sadhana Bhakti. Now since the third wave is Bhava Bhakti and the fourth is Prema Bhakti, it should be understood that Sadhana Bhakti means beginning with Shraddha all the way up to Asakti. You know this verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where Rupa Goswami describes, it's in Bhagavad Gita, Adau Shraddha Tatak Sadhu Sangha Nartanivriti Syat, etc. Bhajana Kriya Anartanivriti Syat. So we're making this, we're defining the term Sadhana Bhakti, and then we'll talk about what does improving mean. So Sadhana Bhakti is from Shraddha just to the lower end of Bhava Bhakti. So making a comparison, one of the things you'll get tomorrow that I was hoping I could give you today is like a little timeline, a little like a bar graph of these terms. Boy, time. So we also have a description of Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. Uttama Adhikari is the perfect stage of Uttama Bhakti. But for those who are followers of Rupa Goswami, listen to this carefully. Even the Kanishta or the Madhyama is involved in the process of Uttama Bhakti. This point clear? Yes. You want me to say it again?
In English.
Okay. There's the beginning, middle stage, and final stage. Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama. I want to make the terms clear that Uttama Adhikari, Adhikari means qualification, literally. Like we say, the person who's in Grihastha's life is their so-and-so das Adhikari. Adhikari literally means qualification. So Uttama Adhikari, the person who has the qualification of the topmost stage of the practice of devotion, of the execution of devotional service, that person is called Uttama Adhikari. That Uttama Adhikari is successful for those who are followers of Rupa Goswami. Even a neophyte, he's engaged in Uttama Bhakti. He's not yet Uttama Adhikari, but he's engaged in the process of Uttama Bhakti. Uttama Bhakti, what is that Uttama Bhakti? He defines, Rupa Goswami. Anyavilashita Shunyam. Those of you that don't know this verse, you can just write the first couple words down and look it up in your Bhagavad Gita. Look in the index. The whole introduction of Nectar Devotion is discussing this verse that I'm just now reciting. Anya abhilashita shunya. Anya abhilashita shunya. Jnana karma dinavratam. Anukulyena anukrishna anushilanam. Bhaktir uttama. The topic of Nectar Devotion is Bhaktir uttama. There's another kind of bhakti. Jnana Mishra Bhakti, where knowledge, the desire to achieve knowledge, and let me engage in some devotional practice so my knowledge can become expanded. and karma mishra bhakti. Let me engage in some activity or expression of devotion so that I can become on top of the world as an enjoyer of good karma. Jnana karma dinavritam is uttama bhakti, where those two things are out, unmixed devotion. Unmixed devotion. You can say uttama bhakti is unmixed devotion. Nothing else but that. The same idea is there in Bhagavad Gita. We're still, I mean, this today's effort is to define the topic of improving sadhana bhakti. Just as in Bhagavad Gita 239 and 241, the indication is given of vyavasayatmika buddhi. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Ekeha kuru nandana. Where there's only one interest. That kind of intelligence that is given to the follower of Rupa Goswami, who wants to come to that kind of bhakti where there's no interest for anything other than the satisfaction of Krishna, a special kind of intelligence is given to that practitioner of sadhana bhakti, where Krishna's pleasure alone, this is Rupa Goswami's teaching, is the goal. And there's a means or a sadhana for achieving that. within sadhana bhakti, which is the second wave of nectar of devotion, there are two further divisions: Vaidhi bhakti and Raganuga bhakti. Now, Raga, Anuga. Anuga means follower. Raga means the pleasure that one derived from some activity. As you could say, attachment, attraction or attachment for a particular kind of enjoyment. Those who are in this stage of sadhana bhakti, there is a sadhana or a practice, a procedure for that Raganuga phase. If there's a sadhana, the sadhana bhakti includes both, and it leads one to bhava bhakti. So maybe tomorrow or one of the classes we'll discuss what kind of the kind of bhava that comes from vidhi marg or the path of rules and regulations is a different kind of bhava than one achieves from Raganuga. There's Vaikuntha and there's Krishna Loka. That worship in awe and reverence, as one does according to rules and regulations of Vidhi Marg, of Vidhi Bhakti, leads one to the Vaikuntha region. This is, you know, it's interesting information, and as one goes on in devotional practice, it becomes very significant whether we'll go to Krishna Loka or to worship Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha in on reverence. So Raganuga Bhakti leads one to Krishna Loka. In this, the feature of this Raganuga Bhakti is that it's some Prabhupada describes in this way in Nectar of Devotion, or Rupa Goswami describes that at some stage of devotional practice, one naturally develops some liking for particular pastimes of Krishna and becomes very eager to relish more deeply the sentiments of the particular devotees of Krishna who are associating with him directly in his pastimes. And there is a sadhana whereby one can not imitate but participate in those pastimes emotionally. So one becomes a follower of that particular associate of Krishna, Anuga, according to their particular raga or attraction for Krishna. And there's a, it's not something sahajya, something that is, there's a sadhana for it. There's standards, and Rupa Goswami discusses them in Nectar Devotion. And that's part of sadhana bhakti. So the, I also, in considering this topic, the basic theme of sadhana is how to take the mind to Krishna. So we'll be talking more about this and mentioning it now just as we're defining our terms. Taking the mind to Krishna, or fixing the mind on Krishna. As Rupa Goswami says, out of the so many rules and regulations within Vidhi Bhakti, what's the essence of all of those rules? Always remember Krishna. And never forget Krishna. Where the mind is fixed on Krishna, and Krishna alone. The mind doesn't go, so there's a sadhana to have that happen. There are things that are helpful directly and indirectly. So we have different days to talk about this, directly and indirectly. Help the mind stay always on Krishna. And when one can accomplish that, all other good qualities come. And if one doesn't do that, no good qualities. According to Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, one other point before we, I hope to go through this from Shraddha up to Asakti very quickly. It's described that within these sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and uttama bhakti, the higher stages of uttama bhakti, namely prema bhakti, it includes everything that's there in sadhana. It's something like the unfolding of the material elements in the process of creation. That is, the grosser elements include all the things that are there preceding the manifestation of those grosser elements. Is everybody with me with this? No. Subtle state. By the glance of Mahavishnu, everything begins to differentiate into its different ingredients. And first come the subtlest, and then unfolding from the subtlest come the grosser. On and on through the unfolding of the five gross material elements. We'll just take the five gross material elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. So you start with the most subtle ether, and from progressively from ether, then next that unfolds out of that is air. And within air, there's also ether or sky. When there's wind blowing, you know there's also sky there. Fire. Where there's fire, there's air. Otherwise, there's no fire, right? And there's also sky. And so like that, as the elements unfold, within earth, everything's there. Earth, water, fire, air, sky. Within this, there's sky. And there's water, and there's fire. There's fire. There's air. So, whatever we may say about sadhana bhakti, you can understand that's there in bhava and prema bhakti. But the prominent features of bhava and prema bhakti are distinguished. So when you talk about the topic of sadhana bhakti, it brings one to that, and it's included within that. The mind is on Krishna also in bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. the benefits of that come from improving. So this now here's our improving part. Improving sadhana bhakti is how effective the sadhana is on having the mind absorbed in Krishna. In turn, the ecstasies that come, the joy, the relief from material distress, all these things that are mentioned in the general description of Uttama Bhakti, they're accomplished. So here's a fine point, but it's a nice point. Later you can look, I'll just mention now, in the first chapter of Nectar Devotion, the title of the chapter is The Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service. So what are the characteristics of Uttama Bhakti? There's six of them. And it's described by the commentators on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Nectar Devotion that the first two of those characteristics are the characteristics of sadhana bhakti. The second two characteristics are the characteristics of bhava bhakti. And the third pair, meaning five and six of those characteristics, are the characteristics of prema bhakti, which includes 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, once one reaches prema. So the first two that are mentioned, should I do that one again? Okay. There are six characteristics of devotional service. Believe me, that when we get, as the days go on, it won't be technical. We'll have lots of discussion about how you engage in devotional practices. I'm just trying to define, as our acharyas have taken the trouble to define our topic, I want us to all understand what we're talking about from the point of view of the acharyas and our disciplic succession. The first two characteristics mentioned in pure devotional service is kleshagni. It destroys all sufferings. And it's the beginning of all auspiciousness. These are the two features of sadhana. As one progresses, someone may ask, how do I know am I improving in my devotional practices? Sometimes devotees ask that question. That's our topic. Kleshagni, one's miseries. One doesn't need to make an independent endeavor to outstruggle your sufferings, because as your sadhana improves, then this fight against material nature, struggle for happiness in material existence, the roar subsides, and eventually it's all destroyed. Your material existence is destroyed. It's not good for the gross national product, but it's great for going back to Godhead. Just a moment. And the other feature is shubhada, shubha. Shubha means auspicious.
Shubha.
Shubha. Shubha means auspicious. It's a different kind of auspicious than the relative one. Relative meaning good and bad. Auspicious and inauspicious work. Shubha shubha phalaya evam. Mokshase karma bandhanai, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Become, rise above the auspicious and inauspicious acts of this world. Become transcendental to all of them, become free from all bondage to any kind of action, good or bad. That's the kind of auspiciousness that Uttama Bhakti gives. The Prabhupada explains very nicely in Nectar Devotion, that which is for the all good of all living beings, that kind of auspiciousness, better than the best thing the material world has to offer, better than Brahmalok, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Purnar Arvartanojana, better than Brahmalok is Krishna Lok. This sadhana bhakti brings one progressively to that.
to bhava, where one is in touch with Krishna so much so that overwhelming ecstasy takes over. One's just carried away by that ecstasy preceding love of God. Yes. Kleshagni. G-N-I. Kleshagni. Yeah. Yeah. Radhika Rama? Okay. Yes? Vaidhi. Vaidhi. Oh, Vidhi. V-I-D-D-H-I. Vidhi. Means rules. Do this and don't do that. Bhakti.
I'm a little confused on that point. I thought you said that if you follow Vidhi Bhakti, you're
That kind of bhava, this is, yeah, that kind of happiness, spiritual happiness, bhava, that one experiences from following rules and regulations, just like in South India, for example, they worship Lakshmi Narayan exclusively. And that kind of worship leads one to Vaikuntha Bhav, which is a different kind of emotion than the residents of Vrindavan, how they regard Krishna. It's a superlative kind of bhava. You have a problem with that? Just digesting it. Acharya wants to comment on it too.
Well, I have a further question.
Okay.
Okay, obviously we're performing Sadhana Bhakti, and it seems to me like a lot of rules and regulations. So
yeah.
What point do we sort of jump off the ship and make sure we don't go to Vaikuntha Loka as opposed to Krishna Loka?
We don't jump off the ship because even in Raghunuga, one continues to follow all rules and all regulations. What develops progressively and not artificially and not, you know, by whim or fashion or sahajya tendency is very naturally, just like as the person who is eating, you know, bhakti parishano bhavo virakthiranyatra chan, you know that verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It describes through the eating process, the hungry man finds that his hunger, the pang of hunger, subsides, getting strength in his body. So, similarly, by the execution of devotional service, bhakti parishanubhava, the direct perception of the Lord, happens. Someone doesn't have to tell you, now you're directly perceiving the Lord. Any more than the hungry man has to be told, would you like some more cake or ice cream? He'll say, no, I'm satisfied. I'm filled to the neck. So when that point in time comes from naturally, not artificially, but naturally following rules and regulations, a natural attraction comes.
So my next question would be, since that's a natural product of following rules and regulations, which has always been my understanding, why would somebody not progress? It would almost seem like someone didn't progress for that. Therefore,
I predicated everything that I said by one who is a follower of Rupa Goswami. That is, one requires the association of one who is a ragatmika bhakta in order to even know of Raghunuga Bhakti. So Prabhupada is in that disciplic succession from Rupa Goswami and is rendering everything to our full need and requirement. And if one has not had that good fortune of contacting the Sampradaya from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whom Rupa Goswami is the embodiment of those teachings of how to practice the Abhideya portion, as the Govinda, I meant to also mention this, the Govinda G deity
is the predominating deity representing the process of attaining perfection. The deity that Rupa Goswami established in the Govindaji temple is Govindaji. So, as we chant in our Gayatri Mantra, this is the indication, Prabhupada writes about it. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's indication also there in Brahma Samhita. One who is the follower of Rupa Goswami in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will have the opportunity for this Raghunuga Bhakti and thus achieve Krishna Loka. This is part of our sadhana. Yes?
Well, since it seems that it's a necessity to follow the rules and regulations for an individual because he's still materially conditioned, then it seems that someone who's following the Vaidhi Bhakti that has progressed, not progressed yet to Raghunuga Bhakti, he is going to buy Kuntha Loka while he's still materially conditioned.
No. He's preparing him as the sadhana for going to Vaikuntha Loka. He will not achieve that other destination unless he has the good fortune of associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or one of his followers. It's a different destination, one who sticks to Vaidhi Bhakti. Therefore, Rupa Goswami is teaching of this kind of bhakti that takes one to Prema Pumarto Mahan, the stage of loving ecstasy of the residents of Vrindavan. I mean, these questions are indicative of why I wanted to present when I presented. It's a little technical, but when you can appreciate what is the gift that we've been given just by somehow accidentally bumping into a Hare Krishna devotee somewhere, then we are getting connected with even the beginning stages of that which will take us to Krishna Loka, without which we'd continue struggling with our kleshas in this material world. So we will talk about Vidhi Bhakti, because that's just part of sadhana bhakti. As we're talking about it, keep in mind, that's why we invoke Rupa Goswami at the beginning. The Mangala Charana comes at the beginning. These two, right after Om Agyana Timurandas Cha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadhamayam. Rupa Goswami has established within this world that process which embodies the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to take one to Krishna Loka. So we're followers of Rupa Goswami, Rupa Nugas. When we talk of sadhana bhakti, we should immediately think of Rupa Goswami and Govindaji. Yeah, Prampra?
Well, there's some who think of sadhana bhakti and you think of who. There are others that are following others. No,
yeah.
Who you're following. You're following Rupa
that's
Goswami,
right. That's right.
Following.
Yes.
Who,
when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India and stayed at the Srirangam temple for 4 months during Chaturmasya, he was associating with those who are also following Vaidhi Bhakti, but on a path where the understanding of Raghunuga Bhakti and love of God within Goloka was unknown. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had all respect for their practice, because they were properly following, as Prabhupada says. We're not arguing the sectarian way, give up yours and take our religion. We say follow yours. Yeah. So at the same time, we offer that non-sectarian point of view. We may very well, amongst our followers of Rupa Goswami, have a clear understanding that there's another sadhana that yet follows the Vaidhi Bhakti sadhana, and that's the Raghunuga Bhakti sadhana, which takes one to Krishna Loka. And the love of the gopis for Krishna is the highest love of all. And we should understand why. Prampra?
So they say, followers of Rupa Goswami don't go to Vaikuntha Loka.
Followers of anyone who is fortunate enough to meet a Hare Krishna devotee and become a follower of Rupa Goswami as a result, can, if simply sticking to the process of devotional practice or sadhana bhakti in its different stages, will go to Krishna Loka. No, you don't have to.
No,
you don't have to jump boats. Just stay on the boat and follow the captain. Akila Dar Prabhu.
Okay. Well, that just came up with another question. I was talking, but when you read Chaitanya Bhagavad, you read how Lord Chaitanya had revealed himself in different ways according to the revelation of his devotees. And some of them
right.
were on the platform of Vishnu.
Right. But through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, for the most part, they became elevated. Rari Gupta. Are we ready to go on to the next question? Yeah. But he also was a follower, an intimate. He was the one who wrote the diary. So it's not that he abandoned his worship of Ram, but he appreciated the worship of Krishna. I mean, his leela in the Mahaprakash in Srila Sangha, he revealed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his form as Ram and Rari Gupta as Hanuman, as his eternal leela. At the same time, he was an intimate follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, that's what it means. Yeah, that's what it means. That's what it means. And he was also involved in Krishna's leela in Vrindavan. We're half the audience is lost, I think. So I'd like to discuss these topics. Let's establish ABC first. Yes, Tim?
I'm not sure I couldn't understand. If you're a Ram Bhakta, or do you have any teaching that spontaneous attraction?
They have attraction for Ram, but the attraction for Ram is always reverential. Always.
So is that with them? I'm not sure. I mean, they don't know what that means. What's the difference between reverential and spontaneous devotion? If you lock down, don't you have spontaneous?
Certainly, their love is spontaneous, but they're not following. They're not, let's say, achieving that stage of love that's characteristic of the love in Vrindavan. It's reverential in all circumstances. And therefore, their sadhana is simply rules and regulations, and gradually, one of the four kinds of liberation they'll achieve, excluding merging. Sovek?
If the soul after the liberation reaches different planets than Krishna Loka, which
yeah.
is the spiritual universe,
okay.
is it possible for this soul later on
yes.
to reach this?
Yes, planet? Yes. Everyone understand the question? Clear? Okay.
We understand that the superior group, the supremacy is in the ways to come to Krishna Loka, but simultaneously they're not on that platform.
No, that's right.
Good. But we maintain that impression completely.
Right.
That's the superior way. How to...
You got it. You got it. Even if you're on square one and so far away from the goal, it's like, you know, binoculars can't even see it. Know that it's waiting. Don't be discouraged by the fact that you're just a, you know, struggling neophyte. Recognize, just stick on the boat of sadhana bhakti, and that's where you're going. And each progressive stage. If I want to take a trip to visit Vrindavan, you know, I have to know where the car is and how to get from the car to the airport and from the airport to get on the plane, and so many stages of things have to happen. That's even for a material thing, there's so many stages. So what I wanted to do, I won't be able to do because of the time factor. I guess we'll do it tomorrow. Maybe, so Krishna's arrangement. We'll have this little timeline. We'll go over the topic more thoroughly. I just threw out a number of things. We'll go through the steps from Shraddha, what it is, how does it help your sadhana bhakti, what does it do, how it takes you all the way to prema, but it has its beginning stage. What does that beginning stage look like, the intermediate stage, the more advanced stage? Then sadhu sangha, same thing. It's the one who has a little bit of faith, has the opportunity to associate with a sadhu or a devotee. And then that sadhu sangha, how does the shape of that work all the way to the end? Bhajana kriya, what are the devotional practices that come as a result of sadhu sangha? How far does that take you? What does it do in the process of improving sadhana bhakti? So don't panic. I've thrown many things out, but I guess I'll have to slow down and we'll go over. I may see some puzzle books and some faces, so we'll go more slowly tomorrow. Someone that I haven't called on yet, and that's not Akhila Dar. Yes, Prabhu? What's your name?
Gopal
Das.
You were saying that one is a Vaikuntha Bhakti, a Narayana Bhakti.
Yeah.
He rules and regulations.
Strictly.
Very strictly. So if we see an Avaduta, like the Shabbat, or someone of that nature, they're not following the rules and regulations, does that mean that indicative of the fact that they are the Krishna Bhakti?
I can't say. Jagar Sundar? Yeah. I don't know if that's conclusive. Because Krishna, incarnations of Krishna also include so many Vishnu. Just like Ramchandra in his travel in the forest met the sages who wanted to associate with him in Madhurya Ras. Not in this incarnation, you can't. So I don't know. I'll research. Good question. I don't have the answer. Mani Manjari? Still in the what? No. A cloud may be situated in the sky and thus blocking part of the sun rays. In fact, when we get to describe Anartanivritti, that's the exact metaphor used by our acharyas. So we can say the cloud can't block the sun, but the cloud can block our vision from the sun directly. Still, we can see the sun to some extent, different than at night. Like that. It's a mixture. It's an appearance of something that is impermanent. And sadhana is, part of sadhana is to remove that cloud. Pram Prabhupada?
I have another question, but I want to ask, are you in the other four characteristics of devotion?
The other four?
You started the first two, and
then you get time. Yeah. I'll give them to you after. Shalini? Prayojana. Knowledge of the relationship of all things to God, or the source of all things. Then you have to act in that relationship. That's sadhana, as abhideya.
mother and child and...
No, like we're talking about the relationship as Tatastha Shakti or marginal energy, or the relationship of servant and master, servitor, servant, energy and energetic, or a particular kind of energy, marginal energy, like that. What's the relationship between the souls and matter? What's the relation between souls and God? What's the relation between matter and God? What's the relation between souls and souls? That kind of idea of relationship. Then once you know what you're... So there's higher orders of understanding that relationship also, as you're indicating. Our class is officially over. I can take a couple more questions. Dr. Tom?
When one engages in the Sadhana Bhakti, understanding that Krishna love is waiting, that sounds like endeavoring action for the result.
That's good. Transfer your tendency to be attached to the results to wanting to go to Krishna Loka. Prabhupada, it was published in one Bhaktivedanta article, that we should, the neophyte stage, and that's all of us, we should be very anxious to go to Krishna. That's not a no-no for the sadhaka. In more advanced stages, one will always be with Krishna. And therefore, Krishna, you can do with me as you like. That's Mahaprabhu. We can pray like that. We can recite the Shikshastakam prayers knowing, whew, I want to go to Krishna. And this is our topic. Improving sadhana bhakti means coming to that stage when, in ecstasy, one can say, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Lord, embrace me, go ahead. Or trample me. Whatever you like." But the essence of that is, I simply want to be engaged in you. So we want to be engaged in Krishna service. Yes?
So we are aware of the superiority of this Rajamukha Bhakti, but simultaneously we may have tendency to offend.
We have tendency to what?
Maybe to offend the inferior one. You know, we can foster the honor and reverence.
We are to practice our rules and regulations.